It is a good morning. It's wonderful to be here. We are so grateful for this opportunity God has allowed us to have. And we're just thankful to be here, and happy Mother's Day. We're thankful for the mothers here. We're grateful for you, and we want to say that to you. Happy Mother's Day. And it's always wonderful when God's people not only gather for worship, but take a particular occasion to honor. And this morning, of course, we are honoring the mothers among us. And also a welcome to the visitors here. We're grateful that you're here. You make up for part of us, our group that's gone visiting their family and other congregations. So welcome to you, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Just a couple things, of course. I know it's impossible to not notice a beautiful little baby over here, and our granddaughter, our second granddaughter, and she's almost as pretty as me. So you get a chance after worship, go over there and kind of ooh and ah over her. We are thankful that they're able to be here this morning. Also, again, want to thank everyone who participated in the Ladies' Day. My understanding, it was a success, and we're thankful for all the hard work that was put into that. But also, we covet your prayers for Christy this Monday, 3 o'clock, for a procedure. It's to remove a polyp, and then they're going to biopsy that. And she has to be put under, and that worries her. So pray for not only a successful surgery, but also to settle her mind. And I can't imagine, I've never had to do that, and it can be kind of stressful. So keep her in your prayers. Now, of course, today is a day that we as a nation celebrate mothers, and we're thankful for mothers, especially more so for the godly mothers here among us. And what we're going to look at here, you probably came already with your Bibles pre-marked to Proverbs 31, right? Mother's Day, at least try to go to this at least every other Mother's Day, and so you probably came with your Bible already opened or marked to Proverbs 31. That's where our main study text is this morning. And what I want us to see here in this is that mothers are honored throughout Scripture. And I want us to concentrate on the strength of character of godly mothers. And you know, maybe you're here this morning and Mother's Day isn't necessarily a joyous day for you. Due to loss or something else, but I would ask you to then consider the godly mothers of our congregation, and maybe even some of the older, wiser, godly women here that are a mother-like figure to you. So keep that in mind as we look at this text here. And there's just something about this characteristic that is exalted in Scripture. That really, when you think about it, the mother's role in the family, and that she is to be that steady hand in our lives. And I want you to think about a backbone in the human body and what the backbone provides for the body. It provides support, protection, flexibility, and even resilience. And I want you to think, like the words you see on the screen, I want you to think about those four words and think about a mother being the backbone of the family and how she provides those four things. And I know sometimes when we look at passages like this in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, that maybe you're thinking, well, you know, how do I live up to that? There's no way I could live up to those godly characteristics. And, you know, I would say, you know, that's probably true. But I want you to think about this. You know, like the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1, or the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the qualifications of deacons and ministers, and the call for growing in love in 1 Corinthians 13. These are standards that God has given us to strive for, to grow towards. And so if you're looking at this as a woman, as a mother, and you're reading about the virtuous woman, you're like, you know, I don't know if I could do that. I don't think I can. Listen, what God calls for is that that's your goal, your aim, and in doing that, you're glorifying Him. So keep that in mind when you look at this text here this morning. And so as we're going through this lesson here this morning, and by the way, I'm going to make it a little bit shorter, because I know Mother's Day. Want to get home, spend time with mom and family. So we're going to, a little bit short of a lesson here. But you know, this lesson here this morning, there's a lot of things that are important. You know, in our culture right now, it seems like there are many around us trying to tear down the family, to tear down or change the purpose of motherhood, to make it something that's different than what God designed. But I want us to see that, you know, that this is what God wants. This is what He's designed. And that is that she gives a foundation. The mother gives a foundation. And I want you to consider here all of these words that you see on the screen and how that's what we see in godly mothers. That's what they're trying to accomplish. So read for just a moment here with me in Proverbs 31. Let's just start off. Let's read verses 14 and 15. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Right? And what we see right off, number one here, is that she provides support. If you go back in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll see an outline in your bulletin if you grabbed one. But I want you to think, number one, first here of Hannah. Think about a mother, a virtuous woman, a godly woman. Number one, she provides support. And I want you to think about Hannah. And if you know the story here, she is before the temple. She's pouring out her soul to God. She's upset that she doesn't have a child. And her husband doesn't seem to be very supporting to her. He basically says, hey, why do you need a child? You have me. Right? Not the best answer that you could give. And so here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, right, she had promised, you know, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to the Lord. Right? And she does it. She has a child and she fulfills that promise. But in chapter 2, verses 18 to 19, it says that Samuel ministered before the Lord. Right? That's her child there. And you read, even as a child wearing a linen ephod, his mother made him. So the point here is that she went back year after year after year to support him, to support Samuel. Right, and she fulfilled the promise to God to give up her child, but she didn't just leave that child. She supported that child. And she would go on and even have more children. She'd have three more sons and two more daughters. Meanwhile, as the child Samuel grew before the Lord, she didn't just leave him. She would continue to support him and visit him. You know, and those of you who are older, especially maybe as a son, you know this, right? Your mom is always concerned for you, always wants to help you. If you ever get sick, right, she's always checking on you. Even when you grow up and you're out of the household, mom is still supporting you and is still concerned for you. That's just what a mother does. That's just one of her godly characteristics. Back in Proverbs 31, if you read with me, verses 25, let me actually read 25 through 27. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Right? She's always providing that support and foundational stability for the family. That's just what mothers do. Right? She's the original multitasker. Both counselor and nurse at the same time, and she's always there. She's always there for her family. She's always there to give support, whatever they may need. Isaiah chapter 66, let me read verse 13 for you real quick. And you know, one of the things here that really stands out about this is that it's really an echo of God himself, right? You know, and we know that we are all created in the image of God, and, you know, and men, we were created in the image of God in a positions of leadership. You know that we're stronger physically, right? We're just given a different task, right? By the sweat of our brow, those type of things that are inherent to manhood. But womanhood is something that's also a part of the character of God. Right, but it's a gentler characteristic. It's a caring characteristic, that nurturing, that supporting side that women exude. So right here in verse 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And so God uses this as an example. He says, you know, the kind of comfort that a mother gives to her child, God says, that's the kind of comfort that I'm going to give to you. Right? Whenever you're a child and you got hurt, who did you go to? Well, you went to mom. Right? If you go to dad with a boo-boo, he's going to have a handful of dirt ready for you, right? To rub this on it, right? But not mom. Right? Mom was there to comfort, to nurture. And that's just the way that God designed it. And that is a characteristic of God that he's just given to women. Right, and that's why a mother's support is so deeply connected to comfort and peace within their household. Right, and the mother also, I want you to note, is about protection. It's about being a shield. You know, I've never met a mother who didn't see maybe a news report or something like that of a tragedy, you know, something bad that happened, and you know, in the back of their mind, you know what they're thinking. They're thinking, I can't imagine that happening to my child. She'll do anything to protect her child. Right? We learn about the mother of Moses. You know the story, Exodus chapter 2. Jochebed's her name. You actually learn that in chapter 6. And, of course, you had the Egyptians that were killing the young children. And she couldn't hide Moses, the baby, anymore. So she made the little raft and put the raft out in the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter, of course, finds Moses and takes Moses in. And his mother actually ends up being the nursemaid, of course, by the design of God. But here you have a mother. Right, a wonderful example of, I'm going to do anything that I have to do. I'm going to trust God to protect my child. Esther, another example. Do you know the story? Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, she makes a statement, if I die, I die. And that's in relation to, right, she's the queen. A conspiracy is exposed. A fellow by the name of Haman wants to kill the Jews. She finds out. And so she's going to bring it before the king. Now, back then, you couldn't just go to the king. Right? You're putting your life at risk if you just said, hey, I'm going to talk to the king. You had to be invited. But she does it anyways. And she makes that statement, if I die, I die. Right? And of course, here it wasn't for the protection of just a child, but the entire people of Israel. Right, she was willing to put herself at risk to save a people. The Canaanite woman, Matthew chapter 15, right? She has a child that is demon-possessed, has a daughter here, very sick with this possession, and she's trying to get to Jesus. Now, the disciples are saying, you know, send her away. And so she has this conversation with the Lord, beginning at verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cried out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Right? And so God uses the same example of protection here with this Canaanite woman. She's going to do whatever she can to protect her child. She sees the protector, the great physician. I'm going to go to him. Right? It's just part of who a mother is. It's just one of those God-designed things that a woman has, and that is to protect her child. Back in Proverbs 31 and verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She's going to do what she has to do to take care of the family. That is a godly characteristic of a godly mother. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he says, you know, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother and your mother. Right? And he's going on, he's basically saying, you know, I'm persuaded, as in you also, that the faith that you have was basically passed down as an heirloom, something special. Right? Something that's so very valuable, and his mother and his grandmother taught that, and they were protecting him. Right? That's another more important way that you protect your children, right? You teach them about God, you teach them about Jesus, you teach them about the Word of God. Mothers are the backbone of the family. Number 3 out of 4, mentioned it earlier, it's mentioned again, talk about flexibility. Luke chapter 1, Mary. And so she's just married to Joseph, and an angel comes and says, you're going to have a child, right? The promised Messiah, the Christ. You know, Mary, this a Messiah that the Old Testament talks about, you're going to give birth to this Messiah. Now, I'm sure Mary and Joseph, but her specifically, I'm sure they had plans, right? They're going to get married and start having children, maybe live here and do this. And they had their own plans like all young couples do. But then here comes this angel. Now, sorry, it's not going to happen. Right? And she doesn't fight it. She's flexible. Right? She says, I'm the Lord's maidservant. Right? And that word there for maidservant, in the Greek, that word is doulos. You could translate that as slave. Right? I'm the slave of the Lord. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And you kind of carry that out also. Right? After Jesus is born in a manger, you know, now she can't live in her own hometown for very long. You know, she can't do what normal parents do. Nope, now you got to flee to Egypt. Herod's trying to kill the child. Right? And then you got to come back on the Lord's timetable. But she says, hey, I'm the Lord's maidservant. You know, basically, whatever you say, I'll do it. She was flexible. Right? A wonderful characteristic of a godly mother. Back in Proverbs 24, tells us, this wisdom, or through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A woman who has a strong backbone is able to do that. Right? That's why she needs to have that strong backbone. Right? That spine to where she can support her family and not be afraid. Right? She can offer them protection and not be afraid. Right? She can be flexible and not be afraid. That in all of these things here, we learn that the virtuous woman, the godly mother, trusts God, but is a hard worker. Works hard and gives God the glory and turns it all over to God. Trust God. That's the key to being a godly mother. Everything else is going to take care of itself. Finally here, I want to talk about resilience. One last thing is her resilience. She's not going to be denied that when the storms come, she's going to be able to stand up strong in the midst of those trials. I want you to think real quick here about Deborah, Judges chapter 4. And you think about Deborah, a judge and a prophetess to Israel, Judges 4 and verse 5. Right, very unique at this time to be both a prophet and a judge. And she judges because a judge's job was to judge other nations that were trying to destroy Israel. Right, and so she brings about deliverance for the people. So she had to be very resilient, especially to be a woman in that time, to be placed in that position. She absolutely had to be resilient. And that's what we learn here about Deborah in Judges chapter 4. We're told in Proverbs 31 again, when you go throughout this proverb, you see time and time again, you have a woman who's clothed in strength and honor. In verse 25 we read, you see a woman who's industrious. If you kind of work your way backwards here, she manages her household. She often works late into the night, verse 15. She's someone who is portrayed as being tireless and having dedication. And her strength is not just physical, but it includes dignity and determination. And time again, you see examples of this throughout Scripture. Again and again and again, we learn about that resilience, about that determination, and understand that that resilience can only come from our God, tapping into what He provides for the godly mother. Let me read this, and then we're going to finish up. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and beginning of verse 3, it says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb." So this reminds us of the resilience that God has, and it uses the imagery of a woman giving birth, right, and being with her child throughout her life. Now read verse 4. "Even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Right? That's the same kind of resilience that you see when it comes to mothers. Same kind of resilience that's found within mothers. Right? They have the strong backbones, that they are the mere image of God's care and God's resilience, right? And time after time, the children of Israel, right, they turned their backs on God. They brought God's wrath upon them. And yet God was still with them. That's kind of the point here in the text. And He was still reminding them, right? "I'm the one that bore you. I'm the one that who has secured you. I'm the one who has carried you, and I'm the one who is still willing to carry you if you allow me to do so." And so today, when we think about the mothers that we have, and God willing still have, we need to be thankful for everything that they've done everything that they're doing and everything that they will do. Right? We need to be thankful that they're always there for us. You know, at a moment's notice, right? You can always call mom and mom will be there. Even if she lives far away on the phone, she'll be there. You know, there's nothing like being able to have that support of a godly mother. So let's finish here reading a verse in Proverbs 31. And even if I wanted to have a stronger or a longer sermon, I couldn't do it. My voice is about to give out. So in Proverbs 31, I want you to read with me again, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And so the question I'll leave with you this morning, something for you to think about. When's the last time you truly appreciated your mom? And let her know, right, if she's still with us. Knowing that she is the backbone of your family. Right, so tell your mom thank you. Thank God for your mom. Say lots of prayers for your mom. Be thankful that if she's still in your life, that she is there. And for those that are new mothers, right, you can read about this in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, and see the qualities here, like the quality of a backbone in the human body, right? And just like, you know, how our bodies are made, you know, you got to sometimes exercise and stretch those things out so they'll grow and be what they need to be. Same thing as you grow in motherhood, and knowing that if you make it your goal to be like the godly mother that God highlights, that you're going to be okay. And you're going to glorify God in that. So, happy Mother's Day. Now, as we offer the Lord's invitation, let's be reminded here that your mom wants you to go to heaven. Right? Your mom loves you and your mom wants you to go to heaven. So, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, of course your mom wants you to go to heaven. And as much as your mom loves you, do you understand that God, that Jesus, love you immensely more than even your mom can love you? And in that, God says, here's what you need to do to be cleansed, to have your sins removed. You need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, John 8:24. Right, of course you're doing that because you want to love God, serve God, bear that cross, you're counting the cost. You got to be willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. You got to be willing to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in water. That's baptism, Romans 6:3-5. You come up out of that water clean, and then you can walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, let's sit down, let's talk about that, let's study that. Or we can take care of that this morning. If you have any other spiritual need, if you have any need whatsoever, let us show you the love of God, love this church family. Don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.